Anyway, we're looking at why the Lord allows heresy and so we're looking at our handout here, and I've got another handout that covers, but I want us to look at this before I give you the other handout. And we'll just kind of go down through these middle two columns where Jesus said He is the true vine. And in the Old Testament, there's a vine of Sodom. We know Sodom and Gomorrah were places of homosexuality, and that's where Lot became a leader there. We know that Jesus was called the Christ. That means the anointed. And the devil has a representative called the Antichrist. And anti can mean either against, he's against Christ, or instead of Christ. So there's kind of two ways to look at that. And Jesus said He came not to destroy, but the devil did come to destroy. Jesus is called the light of the world, and the devil is represented by darkness, or the absence of light. Jesus performed wonders and signs, and the Antichrist will perform signs and lying wonders. Jesus desires God's will to be done. The devil has his own will, and that's to take us captive, it says in 2 Timothy. Jesus had about a 42-month ministry, and you can count that in the book of John. Because what was the feast day that Christ was crucified? Do you remember? Passover. It was the Passover. And there's four different Passovers in the book of the Gospel of John. So one every year, and He died on the right before the Passover. And the Antichrist has a 42-month ministry. It's a 3.5 year. What's that?
The half of tribulation.
Yeah, that's the last half of the tribulation period. That's right. Jesus was called a deceiver, and the devil is a deceiver. Jesus was represented as a serpent. You know, Moses made a brazen serpent, and he said that if you look to it, you'll be healed. And so he was a type of Christ, and the devil is a serpent. He's subtle, and he's called a dragon and a serpent. Jesus is worshipped, and the devil desires worship. Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. Christ is called a branch. At least four times in the Old Testament, the Antichrist is called an abominable branch. Jesus is the good shepherd. The Antichrist is the idol shepherd. Christ is King of Kings. And there's a place where a guy's called earthly King of Kings back in Ezra. I didn't look that up again today. I had this from something else. Christ comes for a thief in the night, as a thief in the night. In other words, He comes secretly and takes His people home. And the devil is referred to as a thief. Christ is called a rock. And I got a place where the devil's called a lowercase rock. Christ is called a prince with a capital P. The devil's the prince of the power of the air. Christ rides a white horse when He returns. And there's also a white horse that we think the Antichrist rides. Christ has many crowns. The devil's given a crown. Christ is called the truth. Satan is called liar. Christ is called the Son of God. And the devil's called the son of perdition. The Antichrist is. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one that rose from the dead. And the devil back in Job was the firstborn of death. Christ is called our advocate. That's like our lawyer. And the devil's like the prosecutor. He's an accuser. Christ is meek and lowly. The Antichrist is king over the children of pride. Jesus is our friend. Satan is our adversary. Jesus sends us the comforter, and the devil's called the oppressor. Christ is called the bread of life. And the Antichrist has bread that's called dainty meats. God is a trinity. Satan has a trinity. I think that's representative of the devil, the false prophet, and the beast, the Antichrist. And then Jesus comes from heaven, and Lucifer, or the devil, is cast into hell. So, and then these last five is where we're at today in our study. Jesus is actually called God, and the devil's called the God of this world. And then in this chapter specifically, our Lord has apostles, Satan has false apostles, Christ has laborers, the devil has deceitful workers. Christ is sometimes called the angel of the Lord. And here in this chapter, the devil's called an angel. And then this, I left you a blank there. Christ has ministers, and the devil has ministers. So I just had you put the word ministers. And that is kind of the theme of our study. And so, in other words, ministers. And I was thinking about this morning. You know, we don't really talk about this that much. You know, as we do ministry, like Vacation Bible School, a lot of people were involved in helping the children learn about the Lord. But you know, there's a few times in the Old Testament. It calls, like Moses, is he ministered to the Lord. And I don't know if you think about that, but when you minister to others, you're really ministering to the Lord, aren't you? You're ministering on His behalf, and we want to serve the Lord, don't we? And we want Him to be pleased and blessed with our service and be fruitful and approved of Him. So any other comments about that handout? I've got kind of the handout for today's study. In fact, Rosie, would you mind passing these out for me? I think I already gave you one, didn't I, Angie?
Yes.
So that was just something for you to put in your notebook. I have a few extra notebooks. Did everybody, Cheryl, I bet you didn't get a notebook, did you?
No.
This is just a, did anybody else need a notebook? I try to keep my notes in my notebook, but I know it's hard.
Thank you.
But yeah. But yeah, some of that's kind of scary, isn't it? You think about how the devil imitates the Lord, and you know the devil has ministers. That just sounds pretty wild, doesn't it?
I seen that there was two statues made, like the Statue of Liberty, and it looks like the Statue of Liberty may have been made after Satan, because there was another statue that looks exactly like the Statue of Liberty, but it was Lucifer.
I haven't seen that.
What?
The Statue of Liberty.
Well, I seen that thing about that statue to Satan that's like in the...
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
They were made back in like the 1600s.
Okay.
Thank you.
Huh.
Good job.
Thank you, Rosie.
You're welcome. If you keep comment there, I think I told you guys Friday night, but... I had a lady while I was doing chemo, or the radiation, I'm sorry. And this little lady was about, I'm going to say her mid-80s. She came in, and as I was going to go get dressed, because I finished, she asked me, did it hurt? Did that procedure hurt? This was her first time. And my heart just turned to her, and I'm like, let me go get dressed before I accidentally moon the wrong person. Went to get dressed, came out, and she was telling me that she was all by herself. She just lost her husband. And now she was going through this.
Wow.
And I feel like God called it on to me. Just, I asked her, I said, can I sit down and pray with you? Mm. And I explained to her, no, that the procedure didn't hurt. And one of the things that I made a decision on I'm going to start going up to the hospital where they do the radiation and sit and volunteer to be with them.
You'll enjoy that.
And it really touched my heart because we're all you guys and God.
Yeah.
Some people don't have any sponsors.
Yeah.
I did that. You'll enjoy that, Rosie.
I did.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed.
I did it for a long time.
I enjoyed praying with her and another gentleman.
No, that's good, Rosie.
By themselves.
Yeah.
With it.
Well, take some gospel tracts with you too, maybe. Hey, Pat. Morning. Well, we'll look at our text now this morning. We kind of did a long introduction there and talked about why God allows heresy and... You know, we... How many of you remember having a black and white TV?
Oh, yeah.
Almost, most of
them. It was paying color on the bottom, you know, like some sort of gray color. My color.
Yeah.
We had a black and white TV.
I had one that stayed in color on the bottom and black and white on top.
Oh, man. Something's wrong with that one.
Or had the stairs.
Well, the reason I said that is... You remember when it kind of got snowy and they had a knob called contrast.
Yes.
And I think everybody in here is born again, we're saved believer, but there's still some fine tuning, isn't there? There's contrast where we need less of us and more of Christ, and so God's working on all of us. He's turning up the... What were you going to say?
No, the funny is that in my plot they put the antenna in one tree.
Ah.
They say, move over here,
Adjust the antenna.
Yeah.
That was your contrast.
Yeah. Or if the antenna put a clothes hanger in it and put it around.
So. Yeah, there wasn't no live streaming or smart TVs and all that.
Hey, you were lucky to have four or five
channels. Yeah, we had three. Well,
CBS and
NBC. Yeah.
Hey, 62 people, that was in our neighborhood. They built that thing.
Yeah, we.
We were special.
Well, I could watch cartoons on
Right, right.
You are a cartoon.
That's funny. Well, I gave you this chart here at the first, and I gave you a blank on there that, and we talked a little bit about that on Wednesday night. But the truth is, there's one God. The counterfeit is, there's many false gods. The truth is, there's one Christ. The counterfeit is, there's many false Christ. And some of this comes from Ephesians 4 there. It says there's one spirit, and the counterfeit is many false spirits. And there's one following, Christianity, and we know there's many religions in the world. And then there's one gospel that is what I had you put in your blank, just the word gospel, if you want to write that in.
Any other gospels?
Yeah, and there's... and if you look at 2 Corinthians 11 there, do you see verse 4? We talked about this last week. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And so they were entertaining these other false things, and Paul's trying to, you know, turn up the contrast on their TV and say, hey, there's some false gospels, there's false teachers, there's another Jesus is being preached. And then really there's one church. And yet in the world there's many false churches. And I even put one Bible in there. We use the King James Bible. And there's many corrupt versions. So that was that little chart I put at the first. And now we're going to jump down to verse 12 and try to finish this chapter today. And I know Larry read earlier. Cheryl, do you have your Bible open? Why don't you read verse 12 and 13 for us? Chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians.
What I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that whereas they glory, they may be found even as we. 13 is for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Yeah, thank you. And so it says that they are desiring occasion against God and His people. And so some of this has to do with pride. You know, I think some people may, you know, I think whenever I was lost, I probably deceived people. I was involved in a church, but I didn't knowingly lead people wrong. But you know, you can be sincere and still sincerely wrong, and I was. And but there are some that are willfully, you know, knowingly wrong, and they are desiring occasion, and it actually says that they transform themselves. So I had you put to themselves. And the reason I put that in there is because, you know, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's from the Word of God, from God. So we want God to transform us and make this new creature out of us. But some people are transforming themselves, and they're feeding on the wrong things. And that's why we do have to kind of be on guard with our eye gate, what we see, our ear gate, what we hear, and even our lips, to put a guard on our lips of what we say. And so that Cheryl read, they become false apostles, they become deceitful workers, and that's what verses 14 and 15, let's see, who wants to read 14 and 15, Teresa?
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an evil liar. Therefore, it is no good thing also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
All right, so this should resonate with the chart we looked at earlier. He becomes this angel of light. So, you know, I'm trying to think of, I heard the other day, we get the image of like a cloven foot devil with the pitchfork and, you know, the red and the horns. But here, what?
So that's,
yeah, the Bible says here that he's transformed into an angel of light. In other words, he looks good. You know, he's a smooth talker and nice looking. And
that's the most beautiful angel.
Yeah.
Shine God's glory back at him.
Yeah, Lucifer meant light bearer. And so we do kind of get the wrong image. And it says he has ministers here, and it mentions ministers. They're trying to become ministers of righteousness, whose ends are shall be according to their works. And so there's he condemns these things because it has to do with self glory and wrong desires. I even gave you a verse there from Proverbs. Does somebody want to look up that Proverbs verse, chapter 5, verse 3? You've all seen kind of an optical illusion, and the devil's like that. It says that his ways are movable or something.
For the lips of a string. Is that right?
5:3.
Yeah. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smooth and oil. Right.
That's not the one I wanted.
That's 5-3.
Which one on Proverbs did you say, Steve?
That's 5-3, but that's not what he was.
It's 5-6.
Blessed thou shalt shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou cannotest not notice them.
Yeah, so that's her ways are movable. That just kind of stuck out to me, that it's a little bit of an optical illusion. It's like she presents herself as one way, but she's deceitful and her ways are movable, I think was what I was kind of keying on there whenever I had us look at that. So thank you for that, Kevin. Now, anyway, so things are not always as they seem, are they? And that's why John tells us to judge not according to appearance, but judge a righteous judgment. So we need to be so in tune with the Word of God that we realize when things are false. And then is everybody still in 2 Corinthians 11? So in verse 12 that Cheryl read, I think, it says that they desire occasion. And so what we're seeing here is what they desire. They desire deceit. They desire to be transformed into an angel of light. They desire this false glory. And then we mentioned earlier, if you would turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll jump around here a little bit. And this verse really seemed profound to me when I initially read it. It's verse 26. Pat, do you have that one? 2 Timothy 2:26.
It says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will."
And so that's a little bit of a scary verse, that people are taken captive by the devil at his will. That's his will.
We have to let him know.
Right. So I put the word bondage in your blank. He desires to bring us into bondage, doesn't he? And Pat, I know you've looked at that verse many times. What are you thinking as you read that?
Yeah. We use that for recovery because he does think it's our sin nature is easy to take, to lure us, and so we have to be recovered. The only way we can recover ourselves or our souls is through the Word of God.
Yeah.
Being redeemed by Jesus Christ and all His grace.
Yeah, it's that acknowledging of the truth. Anyway, very, very good. Thank you.
I was thinking about these guys that set themselves up as something really special and get all these followers, and people are so deceived that they even will drink poison and
the
bad plant over, who knows what.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, it seems strange to us, but things like that happened. That was. And even. Even in the 90s, was that Heaven's Gate and the Halley's Comet and. And we all probably remember Waco, Texas, and David Koresh. And so those are all examples of just...
punctured it with a tank.
And it seems a little more subtle now, but we still have that nature that we can be drawn aside and tempted. So we do need to be on guard. We do need to keep focusing on the truth and God's Word. And we know that the devil's will is to bring us into bondage. It says over in Peter that he wants to devour us and even take from us. And I put money in here. I don't know if I got that from this text. But anyway, let's jump on to the next section. We didn't read all this. We just read down through verse 15. But somebody want to read 16 through 20?
Say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we have been weak. Yet, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also.
Yeah, so evidently they were allowing themselves to be brought into bondage, to be devoured and be taken from, and even smitten on the face. So that's pretty wild. He's like, you guys are letting people... So I don't know exactly all the practices going on there, but Paul is saying, you know, he can speak to reproach and he can speak as being bold. And so in verses 21 and 22, Paul gives some of his credentials here in 23. So, Jaime, do you have these verses? Would you read 21 through 23?
Yes. 2 Corinthians 11?
Yeah.
21?
Yeah.
Speak as concerning reproach, as though we have been sick. Wheresoever any is bold, and speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of the Abraham? So am I. 23.
Yeah.
Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in the streets, above measure in prisons, more frequent in death.
Yeah, so Paul gives at least four of his credentials here. I mean, he says, are they Hebrews? Well, I am a Hebrew. And I'm not sure why he makes this distinction between the Hebrew and Israelite. The thing I thought was maybe, you know, some of the northern tribes that were carried away, they intermingled with the Assyrians. And so they... I'm trying to think. They settled around Samaria. You remember people called Samaritans?
Mm-hmm.
And we know the story of the Good Samaritan. But Samaritan was kind of a little bit of a slang. And when I grew up, sometimes... I think people that intermarried with like Indians were called a half breed or something. You know, I mean that was a negative term, right?
Yeah.
And so when you say somebody's a Samaritan, it means like they're Israelites that married Assyrians and came back to live at, so they're not really Israelites, they're only half breeds, right? So so Paul is saying, I'm a purebred Hebrew. I'm an Israelite. You know, my ancestors did not intermarry. He said, I'm actually of the seed of Abraham. And do you guys remember what tribe he's from? He tells one place.
Benjamin.
Okay, well, I guess I put that verse from Philippians on your handout. Paul said he was circumcised the eighth day. He's of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews. As touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which of the law is of the law blameless. So he followed the law. He was zealous. He was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew. He was circumcised. Tribe of Benjamin, Israelite. So he's a true Hebrew. And I don't know if you guys remember, but Abraham is kind of considered the first Jew. And but it was like his great grandpa was named Eber, and that's where the word Hebrew comes from. We even have what do they call people that are against Israel today?
Anti-Semitic.
They're anti-Semitic, and the way I've heard that is Semitic is like a dialect that comes from Shem. And so anti-Semitic, you're against the Shemites or the Semitic people who speak Hebrew. You're against them. You're against the Jews. And so that's kind of where all that comes from. And but Paul goes on to say that these people are saying they're ministers. Well, I'm a minister too. And so even though he's got this Jewish background, he's been converted. And verse 23 that Jaime read, you know, are they ministers of Christ? Well, I'm kind of speaking foolishly. He labored more abundantly than them all. And hold your place here and look at 1 Corinthians 15. And I'll let you read. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15:10, I want us to see this. This kind of humbles me. This verse in 1 Corinthians 10. Yeah, the gospel. So yeah, Aura, would you read 15:10 of 1 Corinthians?
But by the grace of God, I am what I am. In His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly that they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me.
Thank you. So we're getting ready to talk about Paul's labors. I mean, I know many of you in this room are, you know, going hard to serve the Lord, but Paul says, by God's grace, I labored abundantly more than all. And I mean, he was all in, wasn't he? He woke up serving the Lord. He went to bed serving the Lord. And he was hungry or thirsty or in jail or free or traveling or stationary. He was, and so he labored. And so now when we get back to 2 Corinthians 11, and Aura, I'm going to let you read. I think verse 23 that Jaime read to say in labors more abundant. So he's saying that commenting on his work. Read 24 and 25 and 26, if you would.
The Jew five times received I 43 save one. Christ was a victim with wrote. One was iconic. Christ suffered shipwreck a night and day, I have been in the deep. In journeying, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mind of conquering, in perils by the hidden, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false prisons.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's listing these out. And we could look at all these, but I highlighted a couple of them. He mentions these stripes above measure, and he was frequently in prison, and deaths often. I think I misput that on my handout. Did it say depths or deaths?
Deeps.
In the deep. Yeah, I think I may have put that wrong on my handout.
Deaths often. Yes. Number four?
Yeah.
Deaths often.
Does the Bible say that?
It says often.
Yeah, it does.
Deaths often.
Okay, so his life was in peril often. So I should have left you blank for that. The word peril means like danger. Like he's in danger all the time. And turn with me now. Let's just go to this New Testament. We're here in the New Testament. Go to Galatians chapter 6. I want you to see this. You know the Jews had a rule that that you could only beat a guy 40 times minus one, so 39 stripes, because they thought, you know, 40 would be excessive. So they actually had a law against that. So he was so somebody read for us Galatians 6:17. This is kind of a wild statement here. Emmett, you got that? Galatians 6:17. Well. Galatians 6:17. That's all right. We, some of us, you know, I think Toby Keith had a song about, you know, chicks dig it. Like if you got a scar, you know, chicks dig it or something like that. But Paul actually had scars from being a Christian. And it said that he bore in his body these marks. Yeah. And so that's what I was going to have you read, Emmett. 6:17 of Galatians.
From inside I reflect no man troubled me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, he bear in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. That's pretty wild a statement, isn't it? And you know, when Jesus was resurrected, he told Thomas to thrust his hand into his side and see the holes in his hand. And so Jesus has some scars. He bore it, marked his body for us. And so Paul had some marks from the Lord too. And so it says back in 2 Corinthians 11 that he was beaten with rods three times. And he was stoned once. And I gave you Acts 14. And look at Acts 14. And Pam, if you can get there, I'll have you read Acts 14:19 for us. And this is a So, stoning was the Jews' method of execution. The Romans, theirs was crucifixion, right? So the Romans crucified our Lord, but the Jews, when they tried to kill somebody, they would stone them. And so Paul was even stoned once and left for dead. And Pam, you got that?
There came to them certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persecuted the people, and having stoned Paul, moved him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead.
Yeah, so they stoned him and threw him out of the city. They supposed he was dead. And yet, I think Christians gathered around him and prayed over him. And so in chapter 12, next week, when we're together, we'll talk about that, because Paul talks about in chapter 12 that he knew a man that was caught up to the third heaven. And we think that what Pam just read is when Paul experienced that. So we'll talk about that next week when we get to chapter 12. But he was shipwrecked, and we think he might have even been shipwrecked a fourth time. That was maybe after he wrote this here, but he wrote that he was shipwrecked three times. He was a night and a day in the deep. He was in journeys often. And so let's finish up here. I think Aura read to the end of 26. So 27 and 28, who wants to read those? Back in chapter 11. Kevin?
And weariness and painfulness, and watching often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. The care of all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, but I burn not.
Yeah, that's good. So I put fastings in your blank there. And Kevin, I know you're Kevin loves the book of Philippians. Kevin, would you turn to Philippians 4 and read 11 and 12? So there's all these perils of waters, of robbers, of Jews. I know a guy that does street preaching down on the plaza, and you know, one day they were getting ready to go witness on the street, and a guy robbed them while they were getting ready to go witness. And so these things still happen today, don't they? Kevin, you got Philippians 4, 11, and 12?
Yeah. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to be abound, and everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need.
Yeah, so Paul found this contentment, whether he was hungry or full, and whether he was tired or well rested, or whatsoever state I am. And I like the way that word's at, whatsoever state I am. You know, Christ, God is the I am, isn't he? And that's the state that we need to be in. And then I gave you this blank here that Kevin read from 2 Corinthians 11. It says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So I left you a long blank. Hopefully you can write all that in there. That can be kind of heavy. I mean, Paul's now started, you know, multiple churches. He's got multiple elders. And, a lot of his epistles, he'll say, you know, that I'm reminded of you daily when I'm praying for you. And so he's got this daily care of the churches. And, that's something good to pray for our pastor. As Pastor Brian is away this week and some next week, that we can pray for him to be refreshed, because that can be kind of heavy, can't it? You know, there's just a lot of people problems and situations and budgets and meetings and emails and texts. And so we just got to keep the main thing the main thing. And I'm sure Pastor Brian would... So all these perils are coming at him from without, but within, he's like, man, I love these churches. I love people. And he's trying to care for them. And then 29 through 33, Angie, do you want to read the last of this?
Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I heard not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my enemies. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Orestes, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through the window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands.
Yeah, so we'll talk about this the next week too, but at the end of verse 30 that Angie read, he talks about his infirmities. Now, what does that word mean?
Illness.
Yeah, like an illness, yeah. And so I put that... And Larry, I don't mean to pick on you, but you know, Larry has a little bit of infirmity in his leg, doesn't he? In his walk, he stumbles some. He can't maybe run. So we all have infirmities, and Paul admits he has infirmities, so some of it can be from birth, and some of it can be from injury. And, you know, Paul was stricken with blindness on the road to Damascus. And,
3 days.
Yeah, for 3 days. And so some people think that maybe his eyesight was part of his infirmity.
He had a thorn in his side.
Yeah, and that's next week. That we'll talk about his thorn in the flesh. And we all have those. We got time here. Let's go to Acts 9, because he ends this story with one of his perils in Acts chapter. I don't know if that's the right. I put Acts 9, but hopefully that's right. 23 through 25. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so let's. I'll read this, and then we'll close Acts 9:23. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him, but their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Yeah, that's a pretty wild story, though, isn't it? So God gave him a way of escape out the city walls. And that's what I put on your handout, is that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
So that was before, I guess, his name got changed, or that's how they knew him, maybe. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So that's a good reminder for all of us. God gave Paul a way of escape when people were trying to kill him. And we know that, and I know, Cheryl, your prayer request today that, you know, you're living in a less than desirable situation, but, you know, God will give you a way of escape so that you'll be able to bear this. And the thing I wrote there is that Paul allowed himself to be ministered to, and I think most people in this room are pretty giving people, and you try to help people, and I do too. And so sometimes it's hard to let yourself be ministered to, but you know, Paul did. He, you know, other people had to lower him down the wall, so he had to let people help him. And so there may be times that you need to let people help you, and I do too. So that's how I wanted to conclude today, and that's chapter 11. We've got at least four more times in this book, chapter 12 and 13. There's two more chapters, and so at least four more times in class, and then we'll do a video series. I've got a series called American Heritage. It's a video series, so hopefully it'll. I think we've got a DVD player in here. Jimmy might have to help me. We don't. We have one at our house. Maybe we can bring ours.
I've got one too.
But so we'll do that in a few weeks. But let's pray, and let's pray for Pastor Brian and our pastors. Today, Jeremy Bonison is going to be preaching, and so anyway, I think I've got announcements, and Jeremy's preaching, and so we just pray that nothing big happens while Brian's out of town. So let's pray and close up. Lord, I do thank you for this time. Thank you for those that have joined us online. I pray today's class will have been edifying. And Father, we really cannot relate to the perils that Paul went through, and the things he suffered for your sake, and even bearing in his body scars from stripes and beatings and rods and imprisonments and even shipwreck and gosh, just things that are unfamiliar to people here in the Midwest. And so, Lord, we do have a care for others, and it does hurt us when loved ones are struggling. And so I do lift up this class to you, Lord. We know that if any, you said that, yea, if any will live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution. And so, Lord, we just kind of humbly think about these things. And Lord, we know you'll give us a way of escape, though. And so, Lord, we just cast our care upon you this morning. We know you care for us. And we thank you for Paul's example and just giving us these insights that he is a true minister, not a false minister. And you are a true Christ, a true God. Your word is true. And so, Lord, help us to be watchful about false and counterfeit things. And so, Lord, bless our main service. Bless Jeremy as he preaches this morning. And Father, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.